We continue with Rob Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Yes, we remember. We remember the 2024 baseball season, which we are reflecting on now and looking forward to the 2025 baseball season because there's a week to go. Eight games to go. But we're powering through. We've never been more energized, more excited, more educated, more informed. All of it here on the Baseball Isn't Boring show, which is on till 3 o'clock. I got myself, Rob Bradford, Joe Braverman behind the glass. Say hello, Joe.
What's up, Bradfo?
What's up? And we have the Playtesty guy.
You do Joe understand also. This is a full-fledged Playtesty takeover. It's all four of us.
That is, you're not, Bradford, you're not allowed to talk anymore, Joe, because you said that.
No, it was his birthday the other day, Bradford.
Oh, happy birthday. When was your birthday, Joe?
It was on Thursday.
Really?
27. Thursday,
huh? Big Brave joining the 27 club.
Thursday, that it would be, science would suggest that was September 19th, right?
That would
also
be right.
The day that, it was maybe the greatest game ever played and your birthday, right?
That sounds correct to me.
The greatest game ever played by a baseball player and Joe Braverman's birthday.
True. Do you know that Joe stayed up till 3 in the morning producing the show on his birthday? He's a beast.
You did?
Yeah.
What a gift.
I felt terrible.
Well, these guys wanted to watch the 24-3 Patriots loss.
I didn't. I was ready to go in the first quarter.
Joe, you're a gift to us all, so happy birthday.
Thank you, Bradfield.
The playtesting, this is not a playtesting.
I'm an XL on the t-shirts.
Some guys taking over. So some guys hanging out. We got Sammy. We got Gordo. We got Pat. Again, this is Baseball Isn't Boring. On with you till 3 o'clock. It wouldn't be a show without the Wasabi Challenge.
Uh-oh.
I stopped by, almost was late for the show, because I got my Wasabi, but I got my Wasabi. Natalie Norrie is going to be swinging on by once again. She expertly did the Wasabi Challenge. I'm not going to make her do it. She will help facilitate the Wasabi Challenge. And you guys may have to eat wasabi. I may have to eat wasabi, but it is red hot, both figuratively and literally. And so we're going to be doing that in the 2 o'clock hour. So figure out who you want to pick to have a trivia question on, and we will ask you. And like as we said, it only leads to good things. Tyler Murray did the Wasabi Challenge 2 weeks ago, and now he's the broadcaster for the New York Knicks. Coincidence?
Science.
I don't think so.
Can I interject?
You may.
I did the Wasabi Challenge 2 times. When do I get something good to happen to me?
You're here. You're literally here.
But and I'm thankful for that, but I was here before the Wasabi Challenge 2.
But I feel like your whole presence is different.
Do you think there's a chance a stranger...
What do you want?
I want a stranger up to me and give me a stack of cash.
Oh, you know what I'll give you? I'm going to give you a Baseball Isn't Boring sticker signed by Joe Kelly.
Let it be said, let it be done.
See? Who says nice things don't happen?
Gordo got married after his. That's good.
Exactly, Pat. Pat's never done it.
No, I've never done it.
Right.
I've never done it.
And, oh, right.
Good karma coming.
So he's Dr. Pat. He's officially a doctor. So you are gonna get your own TV show, Dr.
And he's gonna do the Wasabi Challenge, and it would be rude of Gordo and I to also do it because we want to give Pat the spotlight because we're great guys. So let's just do that.
Exactly. Oh
no,
this is why he's a smart guy.
Yeah, right.
But you've never had anything good happen, Sammy. I think this is the.
Oh, that's, no, I just got a sticker. Yeah,
I'm Joe good. Kelly.
Yeah, I don't want to be too.
There's nothing better.
Yeah, there's nothing better.
That's better than a New York Knicks play-by-play job.
Yeah, I actually got offered that as well, and you know, I went with the sticker.
All right, we got a lot of calls lined up. Let's get to the calls. Rudy in Wakefield. Hey, Rudy, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
So, well, you know, I do try to call every decade or so. And, Rob, you know, last time I called, I was kind of disappointed you did not take up my my charge to get to bring Rutledge onto the 2018 Red Sox. And that, you know, it worked out well that year. But it might not always work out so well.
Wait, are you talking about Laura Rutledge or Josh Rutledge? Or Rod
Josh
Rutledge?
Josh Rutledge.
Former tight end.
Josh Rutledge.
I mean,
this is
listen,
a while ago.
They would have won 119 games if they had Josh Rutledge. So anyway, Rudy, what do you got, man? Like it's so I know it's been a long time. It's so good
Joe
to hear
Castig.
From you. Yep.
Joe Castig. So I you know, I wouldn't say I'm a Jokic fan, but I do have a really good memory. And, you know, his, you know, his signature, can you believe it? He at one time said he doesn't remember the first time he used that. And I can only tell you the first time I remember Joe using that, and please relate this to him if you get the chance to, was when Alfonso Soriano attempted to steal second base with the Red Sox holding a one-run lead, and Soriano got thrown out at second to end the ball game against the Yankees.
I will do that. I think he's here today. I'll do that. I'll drop the Alfonso Soriano reference. And, Rudy, thank you for the call. Don't be such a stranger going forward. I thought maybe it was when Joe Kelly punched out Tyler Austin. Can you believe it? No? No?
I thought that was great.
That was great.
If he's calling on Josh Rutledge, I'm trying to think of who the next.
You guys so totally. When I dropped Rutledge, I was so proud of myself. Look him up, former tight end for the New England Patriots. All right, John in Watertown. Hey, John, how are you?
McFarlane.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. See, doesn't it make you feel better on a rainy day?
I'm awake. Okay, exactly. Here I go. I'm looking at Seattle, Rob. Either Gilbert or Kirby. And how about we offer Duran and maybe in a semi-perfect world, I think Yoshida could go over there if we sent half his salary, which is maybe about $28 million over there, because Yoshida could be really popular over there. What do you think about that?
All right, John.
Or any of these other lefties to get one of them. What?
All right, John. I want you to. I'm going to ask these guys, and thanks for the call. We got to keep moving because we have so many calls. Your thoughts? Is to stay with Jaren Duran for Logan Gilbert. Or who was the other one he said?
George Kirby.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome idea. It's going to be painful. They're going to have to acquire a starting pitcher at some point somehow, and there's no easy way to do that because I don't think they're going to sign Burns or Fried, so it's going to be a trade. And if you're trading with Seattle, they probably see themselves as contenders, as they should, so they're going to want major league talent. Duran, great player, great season, but it makes sense. So
You guys concur?
Well, I do in this specific scenario, but you got to be careful with the Duran trade talk. Like with Duran, you got to make sure you're getting an elite starting pitcher with that much control. Duran's got 4 years of control, so I'm not entertaining Duran for like a Crochet type who's got 2 years of control. Yeah. But for a guy like George Kirby, who I think is going to be one of the best pitchers in baseball for years to come, who has the same amount of team control, yeah, I'd entertain that.
All right,
yeah.
Pat, you entertaining?
Oh, my God. To quote Stevie Wonder, signed, sealed, delivered. All right. I'm all the way in on that. I love that idea. We've been singing that for months, and I'm glad other people are coming aboard the train.
Do you think Seattle would entertain it?
Yes. Yeah, they got him, man. I mean,
they got to do something. They have an embarrassment of riches.
Logan, and like, how what better are you going
to
get?
And also, like, you have a GM who's not afraid to make deals. So that's as good as well. A couple quick housekeeping items when it comes to transactions for the Boston Red Sox. Luis Garcia is activated. Here he comes. Here comes the surge. And Cooper Criswell has been sent down. So that's the move. Also, lineup is out. Duran in left field. Good, not Rafael Devers at third base. Romy, my homie, Gonzalez. Yoshida, DH. Trevor Story, shortstop. Cass is playing first base. Vaughn Grissom back at second base.
Lineup is out.
Thank you, Evan. Willie Abreu in right field. Danny Jansen, poleside Jansen at catcher. Zidane Rafaela playing center field. And Cutter Crawford on the mound. Let's go back to the phone lines. Liam in Portsmouth. How you doing, Liam? How are you?
Hey, I'm well, man. I wanted to circle back to the O'Neal thing. Now, I don't necessarily have a solution for it, but we all seem to get pretty excited as Red Sox Nation when O'Neal is hitting these bombs. But we have to keep in mind, I think he's striking out over 1.5 times per game, and he was like this before when he was healthy too, and we're seeing it a lot now. Do we really want someone when we're in a situation where you got runners in scoring position, and it's happened multiple times this year, where he strikes out and really kills the momentum? Because we're going to get a lot of that if we do sign him. Yes, we'll get those probably 30 long balls a year, and a lot of those were solo shots early on. I just want to hear your thoughts.
That's a fair point, Liam, and thanks for the call. Go ahead. You raise point of order. Gordo, you raise your finger.
My response to that is, if you're going to have big-time power hitters on your team, you're going to need strikeouts for that. My issue with the strikeouts is when guys that aren't hitting 30-plus bombs are striking out like 20-something. And in O'Neill's case, he's over 30% of the time. But if you're going to strike out 25-plus percent of the time, I need home runs from you. And O'Neill gives me that. So I'm not concerned in O'Neill's case with the strikeouts.
A little self-plug. We did a full Playtesi episode on this exact topic. It dropped yesterday. It's very complicated. Like what Gordo just said, home runs, great. Strikeouts, not great. I think you also have to point to the fact that his defense has regressed a ton, so he's going to be kind of limited to probably a part-time left fielder. Also, the speed has gone. He was 98th percentile a few years ago. Now he's just over.
Well, he's got bad legs. Right now, the assumption is that, you know, with a little luck, a lot of hard work, and a few more squats, you're going to have better mobility next year. Yeah, Pat, maybe. Dr. Pat, would that... Does that add up, your science world?
The math is math, and Rob, I think
the math is math. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Joe Braverman has to do a trend. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. This is Rob Bradford, Sammy, Gordo, Pat of the Playtesi podcast, the official Red Sox podcast of WEI, are also here at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. We're with you till 3 o'clock. Right now, we're going to trend. All right, welcome back to Baseballs and Boring here at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. We appreciate everybody who's listening, everybody who's following on social media. We appreciate these guys for being here. Sammy, Gordo, and Pat of the Playtesi podcast at Playtesi. And we appreciate our sponsor, Ford. The Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Freedom of Choice Shop. Deals built for you on the New England F Edition F-150 official truck of the Red Sox. Well, we know baseball isn't boring. Because when you have a star in the making who gets sent to the minors after dominating for the last week and a half, you know that something's going on, and that's C.J. Abrams of the Washington Nationals. Obviously, C.J. Abrams, in case you don't know, he was involved in the Juan Soto trade, been pretty good, considered a star, a future star. What's his numbers this year for the Washington Nationals? Things that I never thought I'd ask you when I was driving in, what's C.J. Abrams' numbers? But considered a foundational piece of that team. What do you got, Pat?
He has 29 doubles, 20 home runs, 65 RBI, and he's hitting .246, .747 OPS.
All right, so pretty good. I certainly considered a everyday potential all-star. I mean, what happened, and he's been playing pretty well lately, but he's been sent to the minors because of why? Who wants to take this one?
He was out partying until 8 in the morning before a 1 p.m. game. You can't do that.
At a casino, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. 831 OPS in the first half, 586 OPS since the All-Star break.
The casinos caught up to him.
Added context.
The casinos caught up to him. And again, speaking of the casinos, we haven't even dove into the royal wedding, Gordo's royal wedding, and subsequent honeymoon. But let's first go to Tony in Bridgewater. Tony in Bridgewater. Hey, Tony, how are you today? Good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening, Rob? I just can't believe how low the bar is when we're talking about Tyler O'Neill. John Henry, if he's listening to this, he's laughing his ass off. We're competing right now with Minnesota, Detroit, Seattle, all low market teams, and the bar is so low for this Red Sox team. You were saying, who would you rather have, O'Neill or Teoscar Hernandez? Is it even a? There's no question about it, Rob. They could have had this guy for 1 year for $20 million, and they went on the cheap and hey,
wait. Who?
O'Neill for
Teoscar Hernandez? No, they couldn't have had him for 1 year, $20 million. No, they offered him 2 years, and he wanted three, and he turned it down.
What if the Dodgers sign him for, Rob?
Dodgers sign, I think, 1 year, 23 and a half, right?
1 year, 23 and a half.
Yeah.
Okay. What's wrong with that deal?
O'Neill's got better numbers in
pretty
much
every category.
You're
not tied into the guy.
Before you go on, let me just paint the picture here. I hear what you're saying. Like, I don't think there's any question. Everyone's upset that the Red Sox aren't fishing in the deep end here when it comes to major, major free agents. And we haven't even uttered the words that have been uttered so much this week, Shohei Ohtani. That sort of deal. So you need the stars. You need the certainty. But you also need the complimentary guys. You need the guys like a Tyler O'Neill, like a Teoscar Hernandez, whatever it is. And to Sammy, like Sammy just said, you know, Tyler, this isn't the hill you want to die on and saying they should have had Teoscar Hernandez over Tyler O'Neill. Tyler O'Neill's actually been one of their better moves.
This guy, are you kidding me? This guy strikes out 35% of the time. This guy is injured all the time. I mean, are we kidding me with the bar that we're setting here?
Wait. I'm not sure, Tony. Tell me how many home runs that Tyler O'Neill's hit.
31 home runs.
Okay. Last time I checked, that's fairly good.
860 OPS. 860 OPS. 134 OPS plus, so he's 34%.
You know what OPS is, right, Tony?
Why don't you start reading off the stats that matter? Okay.
Right, you know what? Hey, Tony.
Home runs don't matter?
Hold on. Tony, you know what OPS is?
I know what OPS is, Rob.
What is it?
Tell us
what
about
is it? Carson. What is it?
Next, you're going to tell us about
what
stats
is
like
it?
Did last week.
What is it? What's OPS?
Rob, you start. You.
What
you
is start OPS? What is OPS?
I heard you. I heard you about Casas last week.
I'm giving you even right? time to what Google is what is OPS. Like you, what is OPS, Tony?
You know what the only stat...
All right, enough. For now, see you. Bye, Tony. I mean, honestly, I...
Breaking news, guys. Home runs don't matter.
I should have said, Tony, here's 10 seconds. Get to your dial-up. Get to your AOL and dial it up. Type in, what is OPS?
Yeah, and like you said, that's not the hill you want to die on. Tyler O'Neill's been fine. There's a lot of issues with the team. I don't think
good. Under the hood, I understand where Tony was coming from. I understand the frustration.
Do you think Tony was looking at those under the hood stats?
No. No, I don't think there was ex woba on his. I definitely was not going to ask him what ex woba is. So, but the point is, I know where Tony was coming from. And there is this frustration with that. The ultimate frustration is kind of like when we bring up Tristan Casas' name. For guys like Tony, for guys, there's this surface-level anger. And in this case, the surface-level anger is, why aren't the Red Sox, again, fishing in the deep end, getting aggressive with the big market free agents? Why are you not getting in on your Yamamoto? Why aren't you, oh my goodness, why can't you at least take a better stab at Ohtani? Why can't you get these guys? Like, why are you getting beat? Point taken. But you have to have better ammunition than, oh, you know what? You could have signed Teoscar Hernandez for 1 year at $20 million, which you couldn't have, for over Tyler O'Neill, when the numbers would tell you that, yes, Tyler O'Neill has been injured too much this year. But still, the player that you got is undeniable. If you're going to put the good moves and the bad moves in the Craig Breslow categories, Tyler O'Neill, can we all agree? Tyler O'Neill for Nick Robertson and somebody else, it was a good move.
Yeah, of course.
One of his best, yeah. If not. I'm trying to think of, like, what would top it?
Can you imagine this lineup without Tyler O'Neill's 31 home runs? Where would these guys be without him? My God, I don't even want to think about it. But here I am thinking about it.
Well, now Devers is going to be finished the year with 28 homers. He's going to be the only 30 homer man on the Red Sox.
Can I just say something? This is really bothering me. Like, I love all our callers. I love Tony and Bridgewater. It's called forever. But if you don't know what OPS is by now, like, this is like 10 years ago, fine. 10 years ago, fine. Everybody's like, oh my goodness, why are you putting OPS on the Jumbotron? But Tony didn't mention this. Let's talk about numbers that really matter. And people will say even OPS is antiquated, but it's not.
No, OPS is great. It's a simple way to, because, you know, like batting average, a single counts as much as a home run. That doesn't make
it's
much
sense. It's on base percentage plus slugging.
Yeah, and this is a better way to.
It's perfect.
It's a broad view of a value.
How much are you getting
I will tell you this is that when people are voting for MVP, and what the first thing that they do, well, the first thing they do is go to WAR, right? They go to wins above replacement. And then the next thing they're going to go to is OPS, more so than batting it, not even close. I mean,
what do you think of WAR? Are you a big fan?
It's fine. So this is why when I have conversations with people, like, oh, you know, I've talked to Andrew Bailey. We had him on the podcast, and he was really kind of crapping over ERA. But like I said, well, the problem with that, yeah, I get it. Especially for relievers, ERA shouldn't be the be-all, end-all. But for a starting pitcher, tell me the good starting pitcher who has a bad ERA.
A good starting pitcher with a bad...
And I'm talking about a guy who has made 20 starts.
Dylan Cease last year, and that's the only guy I can come up
exactly
with.
Exactly who I just thought of.
Okay, that's but he good. Had a bad year for Dylan Cease.
Yeah, yeah, it still wasn't...
That's the point. Is it, you know, what are you, with batting average, with ERA, with all these quote-unquote archaic stats, it helps. It helps form the conversation, and you can't ignore it. And I think that that's where we're getting all twisted with these know-it-alls in baseball and say, no, we can't possibly look at that, because what you got to really look at is FIP. What you really got to look at is this and that and this and that. Well, fine, I'll look at that and I'll value that over ERA and average, but I'm not going to totally dismiss it.
See, this is why I'm not a big fan of using WAR to evaluate guys, because I feel like you're much better off using a mixture of different stats and then using some nuance and context to see who's really the more valuable player, rather than taking one number with a formula that I guarantee nobody can explain the formula off the top of their head. And just saying, like, look, this guy's got a higher WAR than that guy, therefore he's better. I like the mixture of stats.
The other thing, too, is the old school train of thought, right? Like, average matters. I don't care. I don't know what OPS is. Is Luis Arraez, like, the best player in baseball to those people?
great point.
Yeah.
I'm, like, genuinely serious. Like, oh, my God.
Who's a better hitter, Luis Arraez or Rafael Devers?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I hear the conversations about you can make stats fit your argument. And that there's an element of truth to that, especially when you're talking about time frames. And believe me, I sit there at 5:30 in the morning at Starbucks, and I do it all the time. I got to write a story about this. Well, let's look at, like, Rafael Devers from this time to that time. I understand that. But at the same time, Luis Arraez is a perfect example of that. Luis Arraez is he the best player in the planet? No. A lot of pitchers will say Rich Hill said this. He's the toughest hitter he's ever have to face. Yet, then the people will say, well, he has the worst bat speed in all of baseball. And so does that mean that a team shouldn't acquire him? No. You know who I would love to have for the Boston Red Sox? Luis Arraez. You know why? He never strikes out, and he hits, and he gets on base. And so, but then you would have people say, oh, no, bat speed. I don't know. Bat speed's terrible. Like, oh, no, batting average doesn't mean anything. Well, everything for a baseball team, and this is where we talk about a Tyler O'Neill, it's like a puzzle, right? You need the big pieces, but you need the little pieces to make the whole thing work.
Look at 2018
that's trademarked, by
2018
the way.
2018 Red Sox. Look at 2018. Who hit third for them all playoffs long? It was a platoon of Moreland and Pierce. Those are not superstars.
And so we talk about this team, Red Sox. There's too many little pieces of the puzzle with this Boston Red Sox team. And I just came from the Dodgers. And I look at the Dodgers, and I'm like, you know what? The Dodgers after Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani – they're the Red Sox.
Yeah.
They are the Red Sox. But you know what the biggest difference is? Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, and Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, by the time you get to that bottom of the lineup, you're down 3-0.
But this is the point, is that, yes, you don't run isolation for outfielders. This is not basketball. But you do need these guys where you can lean on, and that's what we're talking about with this current version of the Red Sox. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, no. You look at the Dodgers, and they were able to weather storms of Mookie being down for an extended period of time, and Freddie Freeman missed some time too. And they're able to weather that because they've got three legitimate stars, and as long as you have a couple of those guys, it's going to lurk. Like, you talk about when you face the Yankees, and when you're facing the sixth guy, you're counting down the spots until Judge and Stewart do back up. Like, that's even more so with the Dodgers, and they can afford a guy to go down, and you're still going to have
that. Go through the – I mean, it is remarkable how similar you're talking about, and like, the same situation. Let's go through the – okay, push aside Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, and Shohei Ohtani, which you're pushing aside, $1 billion. But you push that aside. A bad fielding Max Muncy at shortstop. I mean, at third base.
Miguel Rojas.
Will Smith.
At shortstop.
Yeah, Will Smith.
Smith is a good catcher.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Okay, fine. But he falls somewhere in the middle. You have Gavin Lux, who all of a sudden can't throw a ball anymore, once again, at second base and is slumping. You have Teoscar Hernandez, who we already mentioned. You know, you have a bunch of pitchers who you're hoping for the best. But, you know, they're getting hurt all the time. It is what it is. So, you know, all of this, like, it's the same thing. But the difference is that you have these guys to lean on. And that's what the Red Sox have to find out. And they have to get a better version of the lenient guy that you're leaning on with Rafael Devers. And then you have to find at least one other guy to do this. And maybe it's Tristan Casas. Maybe it's one of these young guys. Maybe it's Jarren Duran. But you can't say that yet. You just can't. You can't compare a Jarren Duran to a Mookie Betts or a Tristan Casas to a Freddie Freeman.
And you know what, Rob? You also, you need someone that, because the guys you mentioned, Devers, Duran, Casas, I agree. All those guys have potential to be guys that you can lean on every single day, all left-handed. It's important to have someone from the other side of the plate that you can lean on, because when teams, you saw it, even when the Red Sox were hitting, teams would target in the late innings. They'd bring a lefty in, and all of a sudden, those guys that are stars that you want to be able to lean on.
I want to get Allison back on the line and ask her who she'd rather have, Xander Bogaerts or Shohei Ohtani.
I respect. She's loyal. Loyal.
Can we just say, can we all agree? And by the way, this is the Baseballs and Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford. This is Sammy, Gordo, and Pat from Play Tessie. Can we all agree that was the best game ever played by a human being the other night by Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani?
The Ohtani game? Yeah. I mean, how could
you? I'm going to rattle this off the top of my head. 3 home runs, 2 stolen bases, 10 RBIs, 17 total bases.
Six hits.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No outs recorded.
And those were... But
hits don't matter. They're an overrated stat.
Oh, right. What was his OPS in the game?
Yeah.
But those were also... significant.
Hey, yes.
Those were significant home runs and stolen bases, too. It wasn't just like those were 50 marks.
Yeah.
Even like record-setting stuff there.
When I was there, my instincts were never keener than to leave for that game.
Why didn't you get the ball?
I was in Tampa.
Oh, you left ahead of the game.
You didn't hear about this. You didn't read about this. You didn't soak all this story. I'm gonna tell you.
Please tell. Please do.
Use
all right. But before this, the first game there, the guy named Lake Bacher came in. If you're not familiar with Lake Bacher's work, he's a 29-year-old who made his major league debut 10 days before. And he came in first and third against Shohei Ohtani with a 1-run lead, game on the line in the 6th inning, and struck him out. I had to talk to Lake Bacher.
Yeah.
Like, I love talking to Lake Bacher more than anything.
That's such a Bradfo interview.
Oh, like, I love that. Like, and you know what? And you know what he told me? He's like, I learned not to fear the moment by pitching to Yadier Molina in a rehab game in the backfields in Jupiter. Like,
that's awesome.
There it is.
Pitching to him as the catcher, you mean?
No. Pitching against him.
Oh, wow.
Like, okay. The big guy coming up. I'm not, oh my goodness, this guy's in the... This is why it's so awesome. But I am going to get to the guy that everybody in baseball is talking about, and that is Gordo's honeymoon after the break. Cody, you know what OPS is?
I know what OPS is, Rob.
What is it?
Tell us
what
about
is it? Casas. What is it?
Next, you're going to tell us about
what
stats
is
like
it?
You did last week.
What is it? What's OPS?
Rob, you start. You.
What
you
is start OPS? What is OPS?
I heard you. I heard you about Casas last week.
I'm giving you even right? time to what Google what is OPS. Like, you. What is OPS, Tony?
You know what the only stat...
All right, enough. See you. Bye, Tony. Oh, my God.
Rob, I think that's my favorite moment in Baseball's Important on the Radio.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's number one.
There's been a lot of good moments.
Yeah.
We're going to have another great moment coming up, by the way, in 2 o'clock hour. Wasabi Challenge, another Wasabi Challenge. Very special. The person who's going to help facilitate it, after she expertly did it 2 weeks ago, Natalie Norrie, sideline reporter for the Woo Sox, is going to be back at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. And I'm giving her the great responsibility of executing the Wasabi Challenge. Pat is definitely doing it because he hasn't done it yet. All right? You're good?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. You're not good?
He's got the face on where it's like the meme where you take the mask off.
I'll do it. I haven't done it since Tristan Casas and Vaughn Grissom made me do it in Worcester, which I had to eat 2 gigantic balls of wasabi. It was, not good. Anyway, 617-779-7937. Very special item that that Gordo and Pat and Sammy just got. And you can get as well for leaving. If you go to, let's say, iTunes, Apple, and leave a 5-star review for the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, which so many are already left a 5-star review. But we do it every day, podcasting. This week, for instance, we had on such dignitaries as Mookie Betts, Michael Kopech, and the CEO and co-founder, Joe Kelly, all on Baseball Isn't Boring, among many, many others. So go leave a 5-star review on Baseballs and Boring Podcast and email me, rob.bradford@odyssey.com. And what you will get in return is not only a Baseballs and Boring sticker, but a Joe Kelly signed Baseballs and Boring sticker. So again, rob.bradford@odyssey.com. If you want to give a screenshot of leaving a 5-star review in synopsis, you're welcome. All right. So you were wondering, Gordo, since you have been oblivious because you've been away in the Dominican Republic for 2 weeks. Not anyone can, people who don't go to the Dominican Winter League have never been able to say that, but you did. You took the aggressively long 2-week vacation for your honeymoon in the Dominican Republic, right?
Yes, aggressively long.
Aggressive, but you, the but right you said it was it. A time. It was perfect, though.
Oh, it was spectacular.
But and you were calling into radio shows. You were doing podcasts. My wife was personally offended every time she saw something like that. She's like, I can't believe that your wife is allowing you to. Well, I guess if she's okay with it, which I mean, I was ridiculed for going to a baseball game the day after my wedding. So, yeah, but your wife is top of the charts. We were
one of a kind.
Yeah, you had a great wedding. Excellent job. You get up on the chair. We helped with the chair.
Oh, I've got a good picture. I haven't even shown. We just got the pictures in the other day. I've got a good picture of you sticking your arm into like fake help with the chair.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
like a
bad shoulders,
Hava Nagila chair.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Nice. Yeah. Rob's got the wrists. So, yeah.
You know what the thing is with Gordo? He's married, but he's also married to the game.
It's true.
You know, a lot of people say that, but that's actually true. There was the dancing didn't start too aggressively late. But that's because everyone was mentioning how much of a Red Sox fan.
It's true.
Are.
Every single speech, right?
Every single speech. It was great. In all honesty, it was top 3 weddings I've ever been to.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob.
I would agree.
You wouldn't let me sit with a podcast kid, though, which was a little weird.
I only had a little input on the
speech. Yeah.
We're
going to talk about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You ever been to a bad wedding?
What better went to what?
Have you ever been to a bad wedding?
Oh, yeah.
I'm
not going to name them.
No, I don't want the name. I just want a vague description.
No.
Me and Cooper hanging out with all the young folks.
I mean, I went to a wedding once. There was no dancing.
What'd you do? Just stand?
You ate like bland chicken and did nothing.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah. Anyway, it was an excellent. What are you doing? What's going on? Speaking.
No, Gordo's asked me a question about his wedding.
Oh, okay.
Trying to figure out where I put Pat and Coop.
It was a friend of Rob, so he could see us and be jealous.
That's true. Yeah.
I would have sat with you if I went.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed the people I sat with, but definitely all older than me.
Wait, Bradford, can I get your opinion on this? Because Gordo shared this during an episode about an encounter with his dad.
Yes.
Mm. Apparently, he was not
Judge
happy
Gordo.
With your.
was a Pat story.
Yeah. No, I heard this story. I heard you guys talk about this because I listen to Playtesting podcasts all the time, especially when I'm driving across Florida, which I did the other day. So it's Gordo's dad, Judge Gordo. He sees us sitting there. He doesn't recognize us initially, and then he's like, "Oh, hi, I'm Rob." Rob. Get out of the way.
Threw Coop across the place.
It's like, I got to talk to
Get out of the way.
Folks.
Sits down with me. Oh, hello. Good to see you. Like, what are you doing to my son? You're shoving wasabi down his throat. He has no chance. You're going to kill him. So and then we were best of friends. It was excellent.
So does that mean that when he gets here, because my dad is going to be at the game today. We're sitting together. Is he going to have to take the wasabi challenge?
If he cared about protecting his son, he can get a deferment.
That's how you step in.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, great wedding. Congratulations, Gordo. It's great to see you. For someone who's been in Dominican for 2 weeks, you don't have a tan, really. I don't understand that. But that's.
I'm told I'm very tan.
Yeah, he looks tan compared to me. I mean, I'm like a snowstorm.
No, you're tan. It's all good. Anyway, I was also could have had the opportunity to be tan, but I was working in Florida this last week. So what happened was I went down. The Red Sox are playing in Tampa. You have to make decisions for the Baseballs and Boring brand. So I had this all mapped out. I said, the Dodgers are playing in Miami. So the Dodgers are on the East Coast. I love hanging around the Dodgers because co-author is there with the Dodgers, but because of him, I'm able to mingle and talk to all these guys. We're just chopping it up. So I love being around the Dodgers. I like the Marlins. We've had Jake Berger on the podcast before. It's a great scene. And then you have the whole Otani thing. ton of media. It's just a good place to be. So what I'm going to do is, this is step one. This is my where I screwed up step one. I'm getting on the plane, and I'm looking it up, and I'm like, oh, crap. I was getting on the plane. I thought they played on Monday. They don't play till Tuesday. So literally have nothing to do on Monday. There's no game. And so I'm like, oh, okay. Well, the Dodgers must be in town, off day. I'll go have lunch with Joe. Joe's like, well, actually, we're playing the Braves. So the Braves are playing the Dodgers. So now I really have nothing to do. So I'm sitting in a hotel room by myself doing nothing for Monday. That's Monday. Go to Dodgers. Red Sox are playing in Tampa. Fine. But still, I'm like, this is going to play itself out. I'll be able to catch up with what the Red Sox are doing. I'll do the interviews with Kopech, with Kelly, with Mookie, all these things. So I do it on Tuesday. Wednesday, my plan is I do the interviews on Wednesday with the Dodgers. Otani's still a couple home runs away, right? And I think a couple home runs and a stolen base. All we have is one more game. One more game to go. He's going to do it back when they get to Dodger Stadium. No problem. So I get in the car on Wednesday night. Now I'm driving to Tampa. The Red Sox win, so they're back in the conversation. Thursday is going to be an important game. Let's go, right? It's going to be important that I'm there because the Red Sox are going to win. They're going to go into the Minnesota series. It's going to be a Netflix dream come true.
Question, how far is that drive, Miami to Tampa?
I'm going to tell you that.
Ooh.
It's not short.
Yeah.
I leave at 7. I do my interviews. I did the interview with Mookie, which was awesome, podcasting pickleball. I lied to his face. He's like, you know pickleball, right? I'm like, yeah, sure. He's like, I'm rated 5. Like, I guess that's like the highest, right?
There's ratings? Pickleball.
That's a pro. That's pro. That. 5. He's like, I'm a 5. I'm like, okay.
We should do play Tessie versus the Dodgers pickleball game.
Perfect.
Think we'd win.
Yeah, Joe doesn't play pickleball. So anyway, so I do my interviews. I get in the car. 4-hour drive to St. Petersburg. Drive through the rain across Alligator. Whatever. The Red Sox won. Thursday, it's going to be interesting. Thursday, the Red Sox, and walk into the clubhouse. They're all watching the Twins, Guardians game. And now you're heading into that, and you're feeling like this might be an important game. Then the day unfolds. Then the night unfolds. Ultimately, I'm sitting at sad Tropicana Field with one of the worst baseball games of all time, with a team with one of the worst performances for a season that's on the line of all time. And meanwhile, Shohei Ohtani, the place that I just came from, the place where I could have been present, the place that so many people are going to lie that they were at because it was the greatest game ever played by a human being, is doing 6 for 6. 3 home runs, 2 stolen bases, 17 total bases. He's doing that. And I'm sitting in Tampa. I'm sitting in St. Petersburg in this awful, awful, awful existence. It is, and history was made. It was a historically bad decision, and it's historically, like, there is not one person who was in Miami with a press credential watching the Dodgers in Miami on Wednesday who left town and ran away from history. There you go, Gordo. That's what happened.
That's tough, Rob. I got to tell you, though, your logic, it was a poor decision, but I feel like your logic was sound. 2 homers away. How many steals was he away? Was
one.
He 1 stolen base and 2 home runs. The only issue is you didn't account for the fact that it was Shohei Ohtani.
But and the other issue that I didn't count for was like how dead ass of a game it was for the Red Sox and Rays. It was a 2-hour and 7-minute game. The Red Sox had 1 hit. It was a nothing game.
How would you have felt?
Like, not literally, but
how would you have felt if the Red Sox put up like 10 runs and won the game though? Like, but Shohei still did that.
It would have been better. Number one, because you know nobody wanted to talk after that game. There was nothing to say. Like what I ended up writing was like that whole experience. It was nothing. Oh, here's Brian Bayo's great start. Like it was the same quotes. It was like, oh, well, you never know. You know, yeah, you do know. By the time you lost that game, you kind of did know. But if they did win, you ask how I would have felt. I would have felt like they had a chance. You had to sweep the Twins, but it would have made it interesting. Like last night, everyone said that. Well, that was it. No, I mean it was it.
We were calling this series.
The math wasn't mathing, like Pat said.
No, we were calling this series on Playtesi. We were saying this was the series that was supposed to matter, but doesn't really.
Yeah, well, we had. I think Stephen Fall River kept saying, "Oh, that's where you got to get to the Twin Series, the Twin Series, Twin Series."
It was so close.
And it wasn't. It really wasn't. And I think it was the Mets series. Like
I
kind of felt that way.
Yeah.
Oh man, that Mets series. That's. I was away for work. Didn't get to watch that one. Thank God, because the stuff I was seeing.
Yeah, it was
not pretty.
Yeah, and by the way, like Gordo left, and Rich Hill was on the team. Gordo came back. Rich Hill wasn't on the team. That's how long his honeymoon was.
Same.
Oh,
same.
Really?
Same. I went to Denver. He was on the team. He can come back, and he was longer.
Remember it forever. All right. That's my story. I missed history. But Shohei Ohtani, I mean, I can, even though I wasn't there. And by the way, the media, that's another, it was such a weird juxtaposition where you had this depressing Tropicana field with a smattering of media. And then you go across the state, and it is, I mean, jacked-packed, full of media, full of excitement. When Ohtani hit the home run on the first game, I tweeted this. I had never heard an opposing crowd universally cheer a home run for visitors, ever. It is, but we can talk about Ohtani when we come back. You want to do that?
Yeah, I've got a question for you.
Red Sox should trade him for him, right?
I got a question for you when we get
him. All right, 617-779-7937. Natalie Norrie is on the way to implement the Wasabi Challenge. These guys are bracing themselves. We have water, we have wasabi, and we're going to secure spoons fairly shortly. But it is the challenge that everybody's talking about. It's the challenge that makes you better people, better baseball fans, through the spiciness and awesomeness of wasabi. We'll be back after this.